Look at that song with me, number 112 that we just sung. Someone asked me this afternoon, can we pray to the Holy Spirit? And I said, do we sing to the Holy Spirit? And they said, yes. I said, we sang, Come Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. I was just thinking about that as we were singing. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fine. I mentioned it this morning, and I'm sure I mentioned it last year. But so many songs, so many of these hymns are so great. They're so great because they're sermons. They're like a sermon. Holy Spirit, look at it. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Until my heart is what?
Clean.
That's how we have cleansed hearts. It's the Holy Spirit who applies the blood to our hearts. It's such a wonderful thing. Because sometimes we do things that are so bad. I was going to say that word naughty. It's so naughty. Sometimes we're so naughty, aren't we? And we know that. And we know it right away. The wonderful thing about it is that if we confess our sins to the Lord immediately, the Holy Spirit applies the blood to us. And we're forgiven and we're cleansed. And when we sang that, until my heart is clean. Our hearts need such cleaning because they're desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. They're so bad. Sometimes your heart can be so bad. I think that it was, I'm not sure, but I think it was Samuel Rutherford that people used to say that he'd be praying and he'd say, Oh, my heart, Lord. My heart is so black, Lord. Cleanse my heart. Holy Spirit, cleanse my heart. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's that sanctifying work. It's not only done by the Holy Spirit and through the blood, but it's the mighty working of His Word to sanctify us and to make us clean. Let sunshine fill its inmost part with not a cloud between. Then he gets into it. My stubborn will subdued. Boy, you know. How many have a stubborn will? Yeah, there's four or five of us. Isn't that crazy how that will acts up? You know? I'm not going to do that. Don't tell me what to do. You know? You just, that old man rises up within us. And it's the Holy Spirit who breathes on us and subdues that stubborn will. Teach me in words of living flame what Christ would have me do. And he's still going strong. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Fill me with power divine. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Kindle a flame of love and zeal within this heart of mine. And he says, breathe on me, breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart. Cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. And then, this is almost Romans 12. Holy Spirit, breathe on me till I am all thine own. Consecration takes so long. I mean, you consecrate when you're young and when you're in later years in the youth and the teen years, you're consecrated if you serve the Lord from the beginning of your life. and later in life, married life, and middle life, and later life, and old life. And we're still consecrating our hearts, aren't we? And he says, till I am all thine own, I belong just to you, Lord. It's like Simpson's, A.B. Simpson says, none of self and all of thee, all of you, Lord. O Holy Spirit, until my will is lost, where? In thine, in thy will, Lord. To live for thee alone. Oh my, what a prayer to pray to the Holy Spirit. What a great prayer. Mr. McKinney wrote that, or B.B. did. Doesn't say if B.B. is a lady or a man. But what a great song. What a great prayer to have the Holy Spirit do that. You know, that gives us kind of a summation of what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us at any time and in any service. He wants to do that for us. Cleanse our heart. Subdue our will. Help us in yielding ourselves to the Lord. Let's sing that first verse once more in the chorus. And let's just ask the Lord for a few moments. Ask him to let this happen, to breathe upon us. You know, when the Word of God was given, Scripture let us know that it was God breathed. It was God who breathed by the power of the Spirit and gave us the living Word. And when we ask him to breathe upon us, then that mighty power works in us. Let's do that. Can we? Let's sing it.
Holy us to will and to do of your good pleasure. thank the Lord for the encouragement that He gives us in His Word. I want to thank the Lord for another opportunity to be up here and to seek the Lord with you. There's no better thing that we can do as Christians but to seek the Lord and ask Him to save us to the uttermost. We do that every day. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm very thankful for that. And you should ask the Lord to give me a word every day. Usually a chapter. And this word really stuck out. Romans 8:13. I know you know what that says. I'm not going to quiz you. What's it say? It says, if you live in the flesh, you shall die. But if you eat with the Spirit, to mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. I'm so thankful that God, as our sister testified, I think last night, this morning, last night, God doesn't leave us on our own. He saves us. He gives us a born-again experience, a wonderful experience. I know when I was first saved, I had a lot of feelings. And then God took those feelings away after a while. Because He wanted, not just me, I'm not just speaking for myself, I'm speaking for all of us. He wants us to be strong in His Word. And He wants us to obey in spite of feeling. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Ghost, we sing a song. Holy Spirit, I appreciate You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Son of God, what a wonder You are. I appreciate You. And then talking about the Holy Spirit, You lead us, You guide us, You live right inside us. Holy Spirit, I appreciate You. That's from the old Maranatha albums. But I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit offers to live inside of me. And then as it says, to mortify, to crucify, to get rid of these things in my life so that I don't have to live in the flesh. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to. And we can obey the Lord regardless of how we feel. I often think of that tract by Corrie Ten Boom. Some of you read it. I'm still learning how to forgive. And here, after she gets out of the concentration camp, she's an older woman. She's preaching a series of sermons in Stuttgart, Germany, about love and forgiveness and opening up yourself to God and letting the Holy Spirit have His way. And from what I can understand, after she preached her last sermon, and she was preaching a series of 10 sermons, she was exhausted. She was thinking, God, now I'm going to go back to my little house and I'm going to just wait on You and get to know You better. Because even though, you know, she was a preacher, she always thought about seeking the Lord. We never get through with that. We have to do that for the rest of our lives. And it's a privilege. It's not something we think about having to do, but it's a privilege to spend time with Jesus and to get along with God. And, you know, I always love when Brother Hans preaches. He talks about people that guided him and were his mentors and his tutors. And he said God used them so mightily and so unbelievably. And yet, when they were done preaching, they would seek the Lord like they were the worst sinners on the face of the earth. Because all they wanted, they didn't care about being used and having a name. They just wanted Jesus. They wanted His presence. Anyway, Corrie Ten Boom was planning to go back to her little house in Germany, and she sees this man approaching her, and she didn't recognize him at first. And he says, "You know, Corrie, I'm one of the German Gestapo, when you were in the concentration camp, and I was partially responsible for the death of your sister. You know, the way she was so ill-treated, and I was doing that also. I was not kind to her, and I believe I was partially responsible for her death, for her maltreatment. And you know," he said, "since then I've become a Christian, and I really ask the Lord to forgive me and to cleanse me, and I know He has, but I pray that God would bring me into Your path so that I could ask You to forgive me." And then when he put out his hand, and she thought, you know, I've been preaching about love. I guess it was just a few seconds, but it seemed like an eternity. She thought, you know, I've been preaching about love and forgiveness, and now this man's asking me to forgive him. And God, You know, I don't feel forgiveness. I don't feel like forgiving him. And, you know, I feel like if I tell him I forgive him, I'm just being a hypocrite. And, of course, the Holy Spirit said, my word says you accept the counsel of God against yourself, feeling or no feeling, and you obey. You obey me, regardless of how you feel, because that's the doctrine of mortification. Paul says that in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10. He says, I keep my body under, lest after I preach to others, I myself might be a castaway. And he talks about running and striving and winning the prize and not letting the flesh have its way, but obeying Jesus and studying the Word and praying over the Word and praising the Lord and practicing the presence of God through obedience, regardless of how we felt. That doctrine of dying daily, it's a wonderful thing. And Brother Greg is talking, and Brother James, of course, is talking about the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the both of them. I love sitting under their ministry. It's a great blessing to me. But anyway, to make a long story short, hopefully, the Lord said, you take that man's hand and you tell him that you forgive him and that you love him. The Lord says, you're being a hypocrite if you go with your feelings. And we get stuck there so many times. We let our feelings dictate. You know, I don't feel like praising God in the meeting, so I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want people to think I'm going to have victory. God forbid that I should obey the Lord, so I'm going to keep quiet. I'll just, you know, still waters run deep, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And that's yielding to our feelings. That's yielding to the flesh. God's Word says, I don't see a place in the Bible where David said, I always feel like praising. He said, I will rejoice. I will praise the Lord. I will encourage myself in the Lord. There was a time in Psalm, I believe it was 41, 42. He says, why do you cast down my soul? He was saying, basically in the Old Testament, he was putting Paul's doctrine of self-mortification into practice. He said, I will yet praise the Lord for the health of his countenance. I'm not going to let the flesh have its way. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Anyway, she took his hand and she said, I do forgive you and I do love you. And as soon as she said that, I'm so glad that it says in Acts chapter 5, I know you gentlemen know that scripture, it looks at something about the Holy Spirit, God giving his Holy Spirit to those that obey him. It's a wonderful truth. But she obeyed, regardless of how she felt, and God met her. She said God filled her with love for that man. Just like Brother Braver said the other night, what's the difference between no fish and 153 fish and no fruit and a lot of fruit, no healing and being totally healed, no victory and being filled with victory? I think you said that. Should have taken more notes. But it's that act of obedience. And she said, I will forgive him, Lord. I will obey you, Holy Spirit. Please forgive me for being a hypocrite. I'm preaching about victory, and I need to put that into practice. And I'm so thankful. It's not just forgiving people by faith and praising the Lord by faith and rejoicing and just doing acts of kindness by faith, because we can't keep this flesh alive. We have to crucify this old man, or if you're a lady, an old woman, right? We have to crucify the old woman, that old man. And the best way to do it is by obeying Jesus. We know what it says in his word. I remember when I first got saved, I loved reading the four spiritual laws. You had the locomotive, that was the fact. And then you had the middle train, that was faith. And then you had the caboose, that was the feelings. And we obey the facts of God's word. We put them into practice. And we do that by faith, and then God supplies the feelings. It's not the other way around. Sometimes we don't feel like praising. We don't feel like obeying. We don't feel like loving. Sometimes I don't feel like helping my brethren. That's not true, I do. I always feel like helping my brethren in the kitchen. But sometimes I like to go that extra mile, say, Lord, I really want to serve you. I don't want this miserable flesh to have its way. Paul says, I die daily. And I'm so thankful that it says in Romans 8:13, if you live in the flesh, that's an awesome word, you shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit of God, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And I'm so thankful Jesus said something like that. He says, I came that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And When we study the words of Jesus, you want to be like him. When you see all that he's done for us, how he loved us, how he laid his life down. And then it's not a sacrifice anymore. Praise isn't a sacrifice. It's a privilege. I love that scripture that says, I don't know if I'm quoting it just right, but it says, his commandments are not grievous. That's the love chapter. John talks about when we love Jesus, when we learn to love Christ, when we learn to be contented no matter what state we're in, and we put his word into practice and praise him and study his word and pray and learn how to fall in love with him. When we have that love of God in our hearts and we allow the Father to put his love in us, his commandments are not grievous. They're a privilege. And I'm thankful for that. It's a privilege to serve Jesus. It's a privilege to seek the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we can be here and loving Jesus and letting him have his way with us.
We have a prayer request tonight. It says here, Laura Rogers, mother of one of the campers and daughter of one of our recent guests, is having surgery tomorrow. She has a condition which could be a complicating factor. The family has requested prayer for her. This is Laura Rogers. I don't know this person, but that doesn't matter at all. God knows her, who she is and what her need is. And we ought to bring her prayer to God tonight. Maybe there's someone here who knows her very well and would like to pray for her. Sister Mary, would you please pray for Laura Rogers?
Thank you, Lord. That you know each one of us by our names. Thank you, Lord, that you bring people to camp, children as well as parents. We're a family together, Lord, whether we live in different states or not,
yes.
Different sections of the world.
Oh,
Lord, we thank you that we're part of the family of God.
Yes,
and so today we want to lift up a part that's not doing too well. We thank you that you are the healer of our souls and the healer of our bodies. And today we pray that you will come, that you will lay your hand upon this woman, that you will help her, Lord, in only the way that you see she can be helped. Thank you, Lord, that you care. Thank you that you are our God. And so we look to you, we call upon you, we seek the Lord while he may be found. So we call upon you. While you can still hear, O Lord,
Jesus,
come to our sister,
yes,
Lord. We pray that you will give her help in trouble. We're made to help a man, Lord. We look to you. We call upon you. We want
yes,
you
Lord,
to get your
God.
Will done. We pray today, Lord, together as a family, that you will come, that you will bring an answer to this prayer, Lord. Bless this family. Bless that camper. May that camper know that God is alive. May that camper know that God loves their family, oh God. So tonight we pray your presence will be real, that you will comfort that camper, and that you will make that camper to know things about you that maybe they didn't know before. Bless this family, Lord, and come to them, we pray. Meet their needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes,
amen.
I came up here by faith. Just, my friend Amy's been here like four times, but she told me about it, and I know it was really the Lord that I came up here. My father, though, is he has one kidney. About a month ago, a couple weeks ago. I went to the doctor's office and they told me that in front of him they said he had about less than 6 months to live. He wants to die. But he's not, you know, he's very bitter. All my life he's been very bitter against the Bible. At one time he actually joined the Lutheran Church when he was growing up, not too far from here in Hudson. And maybe he's been in Melbourne. But he accepted, you know, I believe he accepted the Lord. He sang in the choir. We believe in the doctrine of justification by faith. And he I suppose he got divorced. And he's just very bitter. He's never told me anything about his Christian experiences. And we learned it from my grandmother. And he he doesn't believe. This friend of his, he's told him he doesn't, they both don't believe the Bible's real. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. He wants to die, but, you know, he could change his mind and get dialysis, but for some reason I don't think he's going to. He just has his mind set up on dying, so I don't even know how long it's going to be. So just, you know. So his name is Ed, he's about 74. He had a stroke about 20 years ago, so that's debilitated him too. He has no hope in this world, you know, he has no hope. My mother died 2 years ago, I was divorced for him. 30 years or something. But he was living in the same place for him. Just ending me with a relationship. But I wanted to pray for him. His name is Ed. I haven't been really the best son, you know, but I've tried to share the gospel with him. You know, he's been very antagonistic towards me. He's really, you know, some very key points in my life, he's gotten very upset at me, hurt me a lot. And it really caught, left the house and went on my own, you know. He's just really hurt me. He couldn't really been an encouragement to me, just a little bit. But he really hurt me. He really hurt my life. And I could have tried to love the guy, but I tried to love him, but I'm looking back at the whole thing, and I don't know anymore. I just know, you know, he needs to be saved or something.
Well, here's a wonderful opportunity for us to pray for him. This reminds me of something that I read recently. Wow, I opened right to it. I've been thinking about this for several weeks now. I started speaking about it this morning. There's a principle that's known as adaptation. When you walk into a room that's been freshly painted, your nose immediately smells the fresh paint. But as you stay there for a while, what happens? You lose that sensitivity, don't you? And that, I was thinking to myself, how dramatically that can affect our Christian life when we become accustomed to things that should mean so much to us. And sometimes in the Word of God also we read stories that we've heard ever since we're children. Some of the things that I've heard, especially the ones that have a little song attached to them. Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, or the neck bone connected to the head bone. Those stories that we've heard so often. As I was reading Ezekiel 37, this came out to me again. What a tremendous story this is. A word of encouragement. And yet we can hear Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, for instance. Grace, can you play those first 8 notes? No, you don't have to do it right now. But we've all heard Beethoven's Fifth, right? Oh, that Beethoven's Fifth again. But once you hear that opening stanza, oh, it just grips you, the beauty of that music. Now, I'm partial to Mozart, but here we have Beethoven's Fifth. And when we read a story like this, how it should grip my heart, but yet I've heard it so many times and it doesn't. Here God gave this vision to Ezekiel, the vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. And he said, go down and walk through this valley. And he said, he had him walk up and down among them. It reminded me of the story of Jericho, where the children of Israel walked around the walls of Jericho. How many times did they walk around? You've been asking questions tonight. Yeah, that last day. They walked around, and I think part of that was so that they could see. You know, these walls, They're made of stone. We can't get through there. It's hopeless. And here God showed Ezekiel his hopeless condition. The bones, it says, low, they were very dry. As he walked up and down, he saw these bones, and they were very dry. And then God said to him, can these bones live? And I read these things, and it just goes over my head. But how God spoke to me this last time. And here we have a situation that may seem hopeless to us, to our brother. Can these bones live? And what was the answer? God, you know. You know. But this was put into the Word of God for a reason, for you and for me to glean hope, to gain the understanding that God is in control and He can do anything. And I dare say that there are many more than our brother here tonight that are facing situations that seem impossible. Is there a mountain in your way? God wants to speak His word of encouragement to us tonight. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And I don't want to take any more time, but I think we ought to stand and sing that song in our songbooks yet. And then we ought to pray for our brother, pray for his father. Maybe it would be better if you could pray after we finish this song, and you stand and pray, and we'll all pray with you. And we'll expect God to take away that blindness. You know, we sang in that song, Spirit of God descend upon my heart. We sang that second verse that we have in that white booklet. We don't sing that often. And the last part of it said, take the dimness of my heart away. Help me to see things that you have spoken to me in your word. Take the familiarity of them away from me, Lord, and help me really to see what you're saying, to grab hold of it, and to allow you to work. There's nothing that God cannot do. And I'm expecting Him to work in my heart and to work in the heart of our brother's father tonight. And in all of these situations that we face, may God work. And that is page 197 in our songbook. Let us stand as we sing and let God speak to us these words of comfort and encouragement.
Thank you, Lord God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Lord, we just stand in the gap for my father and Ed.
Yes.
I just pray you soften his heart, Lord. God, I pray that you soften his heart, Lord. Even as he watches like hours of TV every day. That you would send somebody to him to tell him the truth, Father God, that maybe he would listen to them and help him to see, Lord God. Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel, Lord God, that I've tried to share the gospel with him. And I'm trying to tell him how much he's hurt me, but I feel like I haven't really lived. I feel like I could have honored him more, Lord, and maybe that would have won him to you, but he's been so bitter against me, Lord God. Lord God, I just pray, Father God, Lord God, that maybe, I don't even know what to pray. I don't know, Lord God, sometimes I just wish he would just know how much he's hurt me. Lord God, I don't know if that's the right prayer to pray or not. I don't know if that's right. I just feel like I haven't really honored him, Lord. I haven't really saw the pain he's gone through, Lord God. He never knew what I was going through. Oh God. We don't even know each other, Lord. He doesn't even know me. He doesn't even know anything about me. Lord, I just pray that he would touch you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus, we join together with David right now. Because we don't know how to pray ourselves. And that's why we cast ourselves upon you in fresh dependence and upon the Holy Spirit to pray through us. Oh, God, by your Spirit, would you cause us all to stand with this man and pray in faith, Lord, by your Spirit, that you'll break through in his dear dad. Lord, we can feel the depth of pain that he's experienced. But Lord, you can remove it in a moment. You can heal him right now. You are the Comforter, Holy Spirit. Come with great comfort in these moments. Breathe upon him tonight from above with old-time power. Breathe upon his father. Touch Ed tonight. Lord, you know what he needs, and only you can open the human heart. Open this heart tonight. May your Holy Spirit sovereignly move and work in his life. Oh, Lord, we bring him to you and present him. We commit him into your hands. We commend him to your care and the working of your Spirit, whereby hearts are cleansed and lives are changed. Come to Ed redeemingly. Let the mighty forgiveness of the Lord come to his heart. May the Spirit of God strive with him in these moments, as you have striven with all of us in our time, in our day, and you've drawn us to yourself. Lord, I pray that the mighty constraining power of the Holy Spirit will be at work in that man's heart. I pray that you'd bring him to you. Let life and light flow in. Let the light of the Holy Ghost, about whom we have been speaking in these days, let that light shine into his heart, and may he come to know you, whom to know aright is life eternal. May he experience a life-changing touch in his life, transformed from glory to glory by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hear our prayer as we stand with David. We believe, Lord, that you will work in his dad's life. We trust him to you. You have never failed. You will not fail. We reckon on your word. We stand on your word. You've said if we ask anything in your name, you'll hear us. We ask in the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, that the power of the blood will be applied to that heart, and he may experience release and deliverance, peace and joy, the joy of sins forgiven. We pray as well for David. Lord, help him to forgive his father. Oh God, we all have to forgive others. We stand with him in this moment, asking you to work a work of forgiveness in David's heart. May he know that you have been drawing and working in his life. You have done exceeding abundantly above anyone can ask or think. You've done it and you're doing it tonight in his life. We thank you that we can confess our sins to you. We can ask you to forgive us. We stand with David and ask you with him, Lord, to forgive us from all unrighteousness, to cleanse us for the times that we've been unforgiving, we've been careless, we've been thoughtless, we've been unloving, we've been impatient. Oh God, we identify with him tonight and we ask that you'd help him. Let him experience forgiveness and mercy and peace from your hand, Lord. Let it be shed abroad in his heart tonight. May your Holy Spirit work deeply, deeply in all of us. Lord, as we've prayed so earnestly for him and with him, for his dad, we ask for our own unsaved loved ones. You know how many there are that are represented by us individually. People who need you. We see somehow have not been able to get to them, Lord, but you can get to any heart. You can work by your Spirit in their conscience. You can use the Word. You can work supernaturally from heaven itself and speak to their hearts. Speak tonight to our loved ones as well. We bring them to you, and we pray in faith that you'd work savingly and redeemingly, and that the power of your Spirit would transform the lives of our loved ones. Use us, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit so fill us in these days. Empty us of everything else that savors of self and the world and the flesh. And fill us with your Spirit so that we can be led by your Spirit and to say a word in season, Lord, that will be words of life and deliverance and healing, Lord, and forgiveness and salvation.
Yes, Lord.
So, Lord, hear our prayer as we pray for him, Lord, for his dad, and for one another, that you will work in our loved ones as well.
Yes,
we thank you that you hear us tonight.
Thank you
that you will answer. Let the Spirit of God witness with our spirit that not only are we forgiven and that we belong to you and that you love us, but that you will answer our prayers tonight, because we've asked it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God.